Sorry, what was that?
Amazing as always.
That's the best answer ever. That's great. So as I was preparing the sermon 2 weeks ago, I just want to share with you three on the day that I sort of wrote down my first draft of this. Here are three headlines that I read on CBC on those that day. So headline number one: man arrested after 39 found dead in a truck trailer in southeast England. Anyone else recognize that story, the headline? Yep. Another headline: man accused of killing teens says he saw monsters. Anyone come across that headline? Yep. Last one: Apple Watch saves Calgary woman from man who had a bag of rape tools. You guys remember that one? That was about 2 weeks ago on CBC, same day. You look at those three headlines, you look at the headlines almost any day, and nobody has to convince us that we live in a broken world. Nobody needs to convince me that there is evil present in our world. You just need to look as far as the evening news or the morning headlines. You can go to the next slide. Now, I want to begin with a little bit of a caveat here, and this is a caveat. When it comes to evil, I'm not a demon under every bed kind of guy. So every time I catch a cold or stub my toe or get angry at my dog, I don't believe it's always because of some kind of demonic attack. That's just my caveat. In fact, there are various sources. I mean, there's one main source, but now there's various sources of evil in our world where our brokenness comes from. And the one of the things that Scripture talks about is that one of the sources of evil in our world is my own brokenness and my own fallen human nature. James writes in his letter, he says, temptations come from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So I cause hurt and pain to myself and to other people when I selfishly choose myself and my desires over the good of other people, right? And in these news headlines that I even just read, the news headlines are very quick to point out the human agent that is responsible for these evil actions. But we know from Scripture that even that human agent is not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. I mean, the enemy with a capital E is the enemy. And these human agents, although they cause great harm, and just as I do when I choose myself and selfish desires, these human agents are ultimately victims of the enemy, creating more victims of the enemy. And so ultimately, the source of evil and the person that we should be angry at is the enemy. Now, what might not be so obvious to the world today, our world as we know it now, and our culture, is that according to Scripture, behind human agents that commit these evil actions is this spiritual force of evil. In our world, according to the Scriptures, as we're going to see, evil is sometimes promoted by these powerful beings that the Bible calls demons. And these demons are not your cartoon imp. They're intelligent spiritual beings who operate under Satan's direction. And here's the goal of demonic activity. This is the goal of evil. This is the goal of demonic activity. It is simply to destroy the person created in the image of God. That's the goal. And they do this through oppression. They do this through deception. They do it any way they can. Scripture kind of points out to us that they plan their attacks carefully. And sometimes they grip a person's mind or even their body completely. Now, think of this, you know, a person who may be gripped by evil. Think of the most evil person you know in history. You can pick whoever you want. Think of the most evil person you know. What would it be like to be forced to serve that person as a slave? That is what's happening to people who are gripped by evil. They are being forced to serve something as a slave. Even things like addictions, which may like cause all sorts of brokenness. We are a slave to something that is destroying us. But Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, depending on which version you read, either deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. Both are valid. And for those who are caught in the grip of evil, freedom, as we're going to see, it can only come through an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so let's take a look today at what happens when evil and a person who is gripped by evil encounters Jesus. One day in Mark chapter 5, we see that one day Jesus steps out of a boat on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he is met by the screams of an incredibly frightening man, a man who is dominated by evil spirits. Let's take a moment and read that. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. So here in these verses, we see a very tragic picture of self-destruction. In Luke's account of this story, Luke adds that this man was also naked. So adding to this sense of shame. Now, how would you feel if you lived near this man? What would you do if this man were your neighbor? Would you move? Would you call the cops? How would you feel if you're living next to this man? Or how would you feel if this man were your son or your brother? How would you pray for this man if he were your son or your brother? You can go to the next slide. Because this man did not start out this way, right? He didn't begin life like Jesus found him. He started out as a regular person like you and I. But somehow, somewhere in his life, evil began to get a grip on him. And evil began to grip him in such a way that he became a danger to himself and a danger to others. Remember, as it says on the slide, remember what I just said? What is the goal of evil? The goal of evil, the goal of demonic activity is to destroy the person created in the image of God. If you were to jump ahead a few chapters in Mark to Mark chapter 9, where there's another story where a father brings a son who is gripped by an evil spirit to Jesus to be healed. And this is what the father says. He says, the spirit often throws himself, or throws him, the son, into the fire or into water, trying to destroy him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. That is the goal of evil, to destroy a person created in the image of God. And so what's going on here in the story in Mark chapter 5, where this man this man encounters Jesus? We see here a battle for the human soul. We see a battle for this man. There has been this ongoing struggle between the townspeople and the man and the demon. And so far, it is clear who has been the victor, right? Demonstrated by these broken shackles, this skulking human animal who tears at his own flesh, howls out in agony in the graveyard at night. But what happens when this man encounters Jesus? Go to the next slide. Let's read a little further ahead. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, in the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Shrieked it out. Because Jesus had already said to him, or said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again, not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into the pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Go to the next slide. So what we see here is that Jesus comes and he does not see some skulking human animal. Jesus sees a man, a human being who has been ravaged by evil. And we see that this man is vastly outnumbered. A legion was 6,000 soldiers. And if it's not 6,000, then we know at least there are 2,000 pigs that are destroyed. And so this man has been vastly outnumbered and is in an uneven fight until Jesus shows up. The man runs and falls at Jesus' feet. And so this man did the only thing that he could do in this situation, completely gripped by evil. The only thing he could do, he sought out Jesus. But the demon takes over the man's voice because Jesus had been saying, "Come out of this man." Now, interestingly, kind of a bit of a side note, the demon here is using language that was normally used when exorcising demons. And so what the demon is trying to do by naming Jesus' name is this attempt to control Jesus. But already we see the submission of evil to the authority of Jesus. Verse 7, evil begs Jesus. Verse 10, it begs him again. Verse 12, it begs him again. These demons are gripping the man, but they are begging Jesus. Which is why when we are gripped by evil, we need a Jesus encounter. Because only Jesus has the power and the authority to deliver us from evil. Only Jesus. And that's why they are gripping this man, frightening the townspeople, but begging Jesus. And so the demons beg Jesus to be sent into these pigs. If it can't destroy the man, let's destroy another part of God's creation. And Jesus gives them permission. Now why? Why would Jesus do that? Here's the answer. I don't know. Neither do you. It's one of those things that we'll discover one day, but we just don't know for sure why Jesus allows that to happen. So what's the reaction to this Jesus encounter, right? This incredibly powerful event has just happened. What's the encounter here? Or what's the reaction to the encounter? Let's go to the next slides. Starting in verse 14. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. So here's the reaction to this incredible encounter. First, the herdsmen, they flee. The townspeople who have lived in fear of this man see him sitting there in his right mind, properly functioning again as an image bearer of God, and they are afraid. So afraid that now they start begging, "Please leave." Now perhaps they just see that this one catastrophe, right, a demon-possessed man, has been swapped for another catastrophe, the loss of 2,000 pigs, which would have had a huge economic impact on that region. But more likely, the shock of this loss of pigs, the sight of this demoniac who is seated and in his right mind showing evidence of this superhuman power of Jesus, perhaps it's that frightens them, right? Because their superstitions have been shattered. Encounters with Jesus tend to shatter our superstitions. So their superstitions have been shattered, their world has been turned upside down, and they say, "That's enough, thank you very much. No more change, even if it's good." In my experience as a pastor, I have recognized in counseling people that sometimes we don't want to move forward in healing because we fear change. Right? Even freedom can seem scary until you're free. But just as scary is the fact that Jesus did what they asked. He left. So now the demons have begged Jesus. The townspeople have begged Jesus. And now the man himself starts begging Jesus. At least this one had the right idea. He begs to stay close to Jesus. "Let me come with you," he says. Now, perhaps he may just have been fearful that the demons would return, or maybe he just felt so compelled to follow this man. But Jesus says, no. He says, go. Go and proclaim. Go and tell people what the Lord has done. Interesting thing is, in other places in the gospel, he says, don't tell. He says, keep who I am a secret. And here he says, proclaim. Now, part of the reason that a lot of commentators have said why it's this way here is because Jesus here is in a Gentile region. He's not among the Jews, he's among the Gentiles, as evidenced by the fact that there are 2,000 pigs there, because Jews didn't keep pigs. They didn't even eat pigs. So the fact that there's these pigs there, it gives evidence that he is in a Gentile region. And these are Gentile people that he is talking to. And so they, the Gentiles, had a less chance of misunderstanding what Jesus was up to, whereas the Jews often did. Oh, you're the Messiah. Okay, you're going to kick out the Romans. The Gentiles, oh, you're the Messiah. Okay, I'll be free. And so we see that the man did this. The man went into to see all the people in the 10 surrounding cities in this Gentile region, and he demonstrated that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, including freedom from evil, is also for the Gentiles. So let's just kind of summarize what's happened thus far in this story. You can go to the next slide. So in this encounter, we see first the goal of evil, which is to destroy the person created in the image of God, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Second, we see this man, a man totally dominated by evil, doing the only thing he could do. He sought Jesus. Third, we see the love and the compassion that Jesus has for those who are gripped by evil. He is not angry at the man. He is angry at the evil one. He has complete love and compassion. And sometimes when we are, you know, when evil has an influence in our life, there is something in our life that is killing our spirit or destroying our life, we feel such shame that we stay away from God. See, I can't go and approach God. I can't come to Jesus. I feel such shame. I'm so broken. I got to get my life right before I go to Jesus. But Jesus has such love and compassion for us, even when we are gripped by evil influences. And if not gripped, even if we're just influenced by evil. Love and compassion. And shame is a weapon that the enemy uses to steal and kill and destroy. Fourth, we see this begging submission and the humiliation of evil to Jesus. No one is beyond hope. Like, look at this man. If any person in history was going to be beyond hope, it was this man. But 2,000, 6,000, whatever you want to call it, demons out when Jesus says out. Begging him. No one is beyond hope. That person whom maybe you love dearly, who seems to be in the grip of evil, not beyond hope. And I'm not just talking about addictions. I'm talking about things like in the grip of anger, in the grip of lust or pornography, in the grip of other addictions, in the grip of anything that is stealing, killing, destroying their life. That person's not beyond hope, even if that person is you or me. Not beyond hope. And so in this, we also see our own need for a Jesus encounter. I think we need to respect the fact that evil is powerfully present in our world. Like I said, look at the headlines, that's all you need to look at, and you know. And this evil force, the evil one, is seeking to steal, to kill, to destroy. But you and I, if you are a follower of Jesus, you do not need to fear evil. You do not need to fear demons. You do not need to fear change. Because evil is submitted to Jesus. And if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, there were these two truths that we talked about at the end of the message. That God is good and that God loves us. And if those two truths are true, which they are true, that God is good and God loves us, any change he brings into our life is awesome, even if it's scary. And I understand how freedom can look scary. Because often when we are gripped by something, we are surrounded, but we're familiar, right? And freedom brings us into this openness. Brings us into the spaciousness where we're not surrounded in a deep, dark hole. We're not surrounded by, you know, bars of a jail kind of thing. But that deep, dark hole, that dirt all around us, oh yeah, I know that dirt. I know that. I know that. I know those bars. I remember that. But as soon as God offers to bring us up and out of that to these still waters and green pastures, it can seem scary because it's unfamiliar. But once we get there, because Jesus has brought us there, it's awesome. We don't need to fear change. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't need to fear change wherever Jesus may lead you. Evil is submitted to Jesus. In fact, we, as followers of Jesus, don't even need to focus on evil. The best antidote to the influence of the evil one and staying away from the influence of the evil one to steal who wants to steal, kill, and destroy is simply to remain in a close relationship with Jesus, who offers life. And abundant life, and more abundant life. And if we are pursuing Jesus, we will naturally be leaving evil. And so sometimes, to myself and to people that I talk to, I invite myself and I invite them to think less of, I must stop this, I must not do this, I must not do this. And say, what can you start doing and focus on that will help you in those other areas? Like, what is Jesus in? It's not like, what am I running away from? It's, what is Jesus inviting you to? Pursue that, walk that path, and all that other stuff will be taken care of. We know that the evil one's at work. And we know that the reason Jesus teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil, and deliver us from the evil one, is because he's always at work. He's always at work. That's a prayer he teaches us to pray daily. Not just once in a while, not just when we feel stuck, but every day, even when we feel we're in a good place, we still pray that prayer. because it draws us in to Christ. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And if you could just play instrumentally. And as Danny mentioned, he's going to lead us through a time of reflection on our own life and response to what God may draw out of that. So Danny, Pastor Danny, why don't you come up and you take over, and can you lead us in a time of reflection and response?